Thanks so much, Richard, again. Would you like to start by just saying a little bit more about who you are and where you come from?
Sure. My name is Richard Taylor, and right now I currently reside in Michigan, USA, and I've been here for about 20 years now, so this is pretty much my home. I was raised on the East Coast of the U.S. in Connecticut, and so I moved here a while back and haven't left yet, so here I am.
And for our audience who don't know you that well, can you share a little bit about what you're doing right now?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to. Right now, I am the founder of a company that's called Harrison Blake Apparel. And what we do is we have a men's subscription that is a monthly package people can sign up for, where they get one tie plus four accessories for $25 per month. And also on that website, you can shop for all kinds of men's accessories like neckties, lapel pins, tie bars, things like that. And in addition to that, we have a podcast that's called The Life of a Gentleman that's available on iTunes. And we discuss things that gentlemen are interested in. And that's pretty much what we have going on right now. I'm also an author. I have a few books out that are available on Amazon that you can check out. One is entitled The Life of a Gentleman. And the other one is titled The Mindset of a Gentleman. Mm-hmm. So there's a kind of theme going there.
I read in your bio that previously you had books in a fiction genre. So how did you make the transition from fiction to fashion?
Yeah, you know, you're right. I did. I have about five fiction books. That's how I started in my entrepreneurial journey. And I transitioned once I decided to launch Harrison Blake. And I thought, since I was selling men's accessories and ties and things like that, that I would try my hand at nonfiction, just to kind of go hand in hand with the product base. And so it worked out pretty well. And I haven't picked back up on fiction, even though I love to read. I'm an avid reader and I listen to audiobooks all the time. So fiction is still first love, but I kind of transitioned, just kind of following the business model right now.
And about Harrison Blake, can you share a little bit about the origin story?
Yeah, sure. That started out about 2014, when I noticed lapel pins were becoming quite popular and I felt they were overpriced. And so what I was able to do was find out a way to produce them at an affordable price. And so that's how Harrison Blake started, just with making lapel pins, producing them myself and selling them originally on a website called Etsy.com. And from there, became very popular, so I wanted to brand it. And so I made Harrison Blake Apparel, which actually is my son's name. So I named the company after him. And so he's kind of proud about that. And then it kind of drives me to keep producing the best possible materials that I can, knowing that his name is behind it. So I started there and then just started expanding the line over the last few years and evolving, you know, with the changing times of men's fashion.
Do you manufacture all the products yourself?
At the beginning, I did manufacture all the products, but it just became too time consuming. So we do outsource the manufacturing right now of pretty much all the products.
And did you do the sourcing yourself as well, or did you rely on a partner?
I do the sourcing myself. So right now I don't have any partners. It's basically a family run business. I do employ a couple family members and, you know, I just have the support from my wife and kids.
That's great. And is your subscription business based on a platform, or did you develop yourself a solution from zero, from scratch?
Yeah, again, that was from scratch. I did a lot of research. I know there's a lot of platforms out there where you can kind of throw up a website for subscriptions. But the thing was, I already had Harrison Blake established, which was just a website where you could buy different products. And so I was able to just attach on an option where, if you're interested in the subscription, you're able to process that monthly. And it's all processed through Stripe. And I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. They're a credit card processor, so they handle all the billing.
How did the idea of a podcast branch out from the apparel business?
Well, I was a fan of podcasts. That's the funny thing. I love listening to podcasts, like all different kinds. That's how I pass my time. I like that as opposed to radio. And so I thought, man, this is a great opportunity to find out about new people, new products and stuff, because I was listening to them and finding out about, you know, different authors, different businesses. And so I thought, well, I should start a podcast, and then I could maybe get the word out a little bit more about what I have going on, and then also make some connections with other people that are doing things that are similar. And so by doing the podcast, I've really been able to make some great connections and meet some wonderful people that have been able to help in business, and then also just people that have just become friendships over the years.
That's so nice. It's exactly one of the reasons why we started doing a podcast as well. When we share with our friends or some other people that we're an apparel company, but at the same time we're focusing so much on podcasting, people look strange at us, but there's so much value in this approach.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's a great idea because, you know, a lot of times now, there's so many small companies, and I think what we're both doing by having a podcast is setting ourselves apart from everyone else, because you're also bringing information to the consumer. So you're like a media company also. And you also, you know, offer entertainment, information, and at the same time, reaching new audience just by having a podcast. I think podcasting is really going to explode even more in the future. So I really wanted to jump on early.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. It's the exact thought process that we had as well. How do you go about finding guests for the podcast?
You know, a lot of times I find guests based off Instagram and social media, things like that. I see something that looks interesting. I reach out to people, whether they're an author or they have a brand, or a lot of times I have on social media influencers, guys who take pictures and collaborate with brands and kind of ask them questions. But, you know, generally when I reach out, the response is it's really easy to get guests, you know. Not many people say no, because it's an opportunity for them to spread the word about themselves, and it's still a media opportunity for them. So I think they feel, you know, kind of honored in a way to be asked to join a podcast. And so it's been quite easy to connect with people.
It's again, similar experience over here as well. By the way, we're based in Amsterdam. So our main method for approaching people from all over the world has been also Instagram. It's turned into an incredible tool, especially direct messaging. Not even influencers only, but companies and people who are just actively pursuing a goal or a dream or a career even.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you probably found what I found too. You know, people just generally say yes, right? It's almost amazing how you don't hear no too often when you invite people on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And how much time do you spend on sourcing the guests for the podcast?
Not too much, honestly, because what I like to do is record in advance. So I have, you know, about maybe 8 guests already pre-recorded, so that I don't have pressure to put out another episode, because ours is a weekly podcast. And so I have a co-host, and what we do, our format, we chit-chat for about 15 minutes at the beginning of the show about a certain subject, and then we bring on the guest for about another 15, 20 minutes. But so it's not really hard, because I have those in the bank, so to speak, already built up. And so then I just have to, every week, find a couple more guests, and then I'm always ahead of the game.
Nice. And what do you think, I would love to hear your opinion on something. How do you come up with the format for your podcast, or how did you come up to the current format that you have? And what do you think makes a good podcast?
Yeah, you know, our format has changed since we started. It's only been about a year we've been podcasting. And at first it was, we didn't really have a good format. So the show didn't really have a good flow, but it just took us a while to find a groove. And it seemed like you know, some opening remarks just to kind of whet their appetite. And then we dive into the show's main content. And then we try to bring on the guests that it's the subject is similar to what we've been discussing, and it kind of complements the conversation. And then I kind of come on at the end and recap the show. And that's pretty much our format. It's about 35 minutes to 40 minutes per episode. We used to have two guests per episode, and we found that the show was running to be about an hour. But I think the shorter episodes have been doing a little bit better for us. As far as what makes a good show, I think it's the guests that you have on, that they're passionate about what they're discussing. And then sometimes there's shows that I like for entertainment value. So, you know, I'm kind of split down the middle. Some shows I listen to because I know they're informative, and then other shows are pure entertainment. There's some podcasts that I listen to that are based around my favorite television shows and things like that. So I kind of like both sides of it.
It's just really great. And again, great overlap over what we're feeling and doing over here. How would you come up with the topics for your podcast?
You know, at first I would take a lot of the subjects right out of the title of my book, The Life of a Gentleman. That's broken down into a lot of different subjects where we talk about, you know, preparing for a job interview or how to dress well on maybe on a budget, or perhaps then we dive into maybe how to tailor your clothes so that you get a better fit and a better look. So kind of, and then sometimes what we do is me and my partner will just have things that happen to us in our everyday lives that we see that guys are doing that are totally against the lifestyle of a gentleman. And we'll talk about that in kind of a funny way. So just a variety of ways, but most of the times we try to plan it out in advance and think about what the audience could use that might be useful for them.
I wanna also touch you a little bit on how the moment when you decided to start and how you started. I think there's this big this notion in a lot of people's heads that it's very difficult to start a podcast, that it requires a lot of equipment and a lot of know-how about how to interview people. But I would like to get your take on how did you start with the podcast, like your very, very first show, your very first edition, and maybe what's your setup and how did it change over the past year?
Oh, man, that's a great point. A lot of people do think that, including myself. I thought that very same thing, that this was going to be so hard to do. And I started researching it and got overwhelmed. And finally, I figured out, you know, all you really need to get started is just to get set up, you know, get your account set up with iTunes or whatever podcast host you want to use, which is a very simple process. And then the equipment that I use is very basic. So I'm not very high tech at all. So what I use a Tascam recorder. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those. It's just a small recording device. I can plug a microphone into it, so the sound quality is very nice. But when I interview guests, unfortunately, I'm not that technologically advanced. So I just record over the phone and I'll put the guest on speaker, and actually the mic picks them up pretty well. It does sound like, you know, if you watch the news and it sounds like somebody's calling in, that's what it sounds like. And so people know that the guest has called in, and my voice is a little more clear because I'm speaking directly into a microphone and I'm amplified and clear, but the guest is still clear too. You can still completely understand them. So that's been what we've used. And from there, we have actually someone that edits the show for us and adds in, we run a little bit of background music behind it just to kind of have a little soothing melody going on behind our voices, and some intro, outro music, stuff like that. That's handled by what we call our producer. She just basically is doing the editing, and that is uploaded, and that's pretty much it. It's not really that difficult, but I think people get hung up on getting started because they think it's going to be this expensive ordeal. And really, I would say cost me $200-$300 for the equipment, you know, the microphones, nice microphones, and the test cam recorder.
Can you share a little bit more about the distribution? Where do you promote the podcast? Where do you share it to?
Yeah, sure. What I like to do is we promote the podcast on our Instagram very heavily. Also, we do on Facebook and sometimes to our email list as well, which we probably should be doing more of, but primarily it's been through Instagram, and we have a dedicated podcast account. It's called Gentleman's Podcast. And then I have a personal account that I use for my books and for I've started a consulting business, and that's called The Life of a Gent. And then I also promote the podcast on the Harrison Blake Instagram, and that Instagram is called Wear Lapel Pins. And so we promote it there. It does pretty well. And also we'll be trying to invite the guests that come on to promote the show as well and let their listeners know that they're coming on a podcast. And that really helps too, because they have a different audience from us. And so when they promote it, that gets new eyeballs on our social media accounts, but also to the website for Harrison Blake, and then, you know, listeners for the podcast as well. So it's a win-win.
Just going back to the Harrison Blake product line, what are your current products? I think you touched a bit on that, but and maybe what are the future plans product-wise? Are you planning on expanding that product line?
Not right now. Really, we've expanded to pretty much every accessory you can think of that's not size specific. So we don't have shirts, we don't have jackets, pants, things like that, shoes. We have no plans of doing anything that's has to deal with sizes. I feel like it would just be really cumbersome and just kind of difficult to manage the different sizes. You know, everybody's body shape is different, and I don't want to get into that. I just like the items that, you know, one size fits most. So we'll be sticking with that. We did roll out a new subscription model, which is a floral tie club. And so I know a lot of guys like floral ties. They're kind of hot. And you can get a floral tie every month for only $10 with the subscription. And so we try to give you the most unique floral look that we can possibly come up with.
And from that, you also mentioned that you are having you started a consulting business. Can you share a little bit more about what that is?
Oh, sure. Yeah. As a business owner, I've had quite a bit of success growing social media accounts and also growing my own business. And so what I've been doing is reaching out to people who are interested in starting their own brand. Or just that they have a personal brand, you know, as an influencer or something like that, and they want to find out ways to monetize it. A lot of people have not had the opportunity to really think outside the box and think that, you know, a lot of things that they do on social media as an influencer, they can really be paid for. So I help them to understand that. And then if you're a business owner, if you're interested in maybe growing your social media or growing your business, there's some things that a lot of people don't know about or, you know, haven't had the opportunity to learn about. This kind of gives them the opportunity to have a coach in their corner that can advance them a little bit faster than perhaps learning on their own. So I kind of cut down their learning curve and help them grow their business. And especially if they haven't started it yet, I'm able to help them get started and get them off to a good start, because that's sometimes the most difficult part for business owners.
What's your motivation when you're starting something new, and what keeps you driven, especially in those very early, unsure days?
Well, my motivation is basically everything stems from my children. You know, I want to provide the best possible lifestyle I can for them. So, keeping that in mind, that's a lot of my drive, and to show them that there's so many opportunities out there that whatever their dreams and their passions are, I want them to go after those. And so I show them that, you know, pretty much anything's possible if you put your mind to it. But I also love a good challenge. You know, that's just my personality. I don't like to play to lose. And so if I set out on a new business venture, I want to make sure that it's successful. You know, it's almost like a game for me because I just want to see how far I can push things and see how far I can take it. So I kind of invest a lot of time and energy into things and making sure that it's a success.
You mentioned a few things that you're currently running. How do you go about time management and focus distribution between the three things you mentioned?
Yeah, it's very challenging. That's very true. What I do is try to get on a schedule and allocate certain times for certain things, especially for podcasting. As you guys know, that can be time consuming too. So what I try to do is record on Thursdays, generally. Thursday evening, I try to record. And if I can't do that, then I'll record on a weekend. But in general, I like to do what's called batch recording. And so me and my partner will try to get together and record at least four episodes at once. So that gets us through a month. And then with guests, I try to stack them all up on a Thursday evening and record, you know, one right after another. If I can record three or four recordings on a Thursday, that builds up my bank of recordings. So that's one less thing to worry about. And then I just have to quickly do the intros and outros each week and the show recaps, which doesn't take very long. Those are only about 2 minutes each. And so then I send that over to the producer and away we go. So that the podcast is taken care of there. Now with the business, it does become challenging with the advertising for the brand. I've had to outsource and bring on somebody to help do email marketing. And but I do run the social media myself. And that takes a little time, but I just kind of want to be hands-on with that because I've grown a pretty good following and I don't really want to turn that over to someone who might kind of neglect it a little bit.
Which platforms are you currently focused on, social media wise?
Social media wise, as it is a challenge to focus on more than two, I would say. The biggest ones for us is the number one is Instagram. Secondly, we do some things on Facebook. Facebook has become a little more challenging over the past few months and years, to get a lot of traction. And I'm also on Twitter, but not very strong presence on there.
And are you investing in Facebook advertising at all?
Yes, I have done Facebook advertising the past 2 years, I would say. And with mixed results. It just depends on I think as of late it hasn't been as strong for me, so I'm thinking about trying something a little bit different. I've tried Google Ads and so I'm seeing how that works for a while. Putting a little bit more investment into the Google Ads and try to compare the two. Let's see what works out a little bit better.
And are you outsourcing that or are you taking care of it yourself?
I decided to take care of it myself. And that was another thing that initially I thought was going to be very difficult was the Google Ads, but they also have specialists that you can get on the phone and talk with. They have a free consultation that kind of help you. It's actually very similar to the Facebook ads, you know, just focus on your keywords and things like that. And the results have been pretty good. The cost per click is pretty low and just about comparable to Facebook. I think if I ramp up a little bit more the spending, I might see better results actually and more clicks with the Google Ads, but that remains to be seen. I think I'll find out in the next few months.
And outside of social media, what do you find as the most effective channel and the one that's eating up a lot of investment in terms of time and energy?
Most successful probably will be building your email list. That works well. And having the ability to email past customers, that really is effective. You will get, you know, 15% of the list probably will open up the email and then half of those will click through. But if you take the time to build a big list, that can really mean a lot of good results, especially if you offer some incentives, some coupons for them. The other thing that I've used is using social media influencers, guys that are on Instagram platform that like to dress well, and what I've had to do was give them the opportunity to try the product for free, of course, and you know, everyone loves free products, but they also have a chance to kind of model it for you and display it to their followers. And so you kind of get a snowball effect going, kind of like a word of mouth. And that really worked well, especially coming out the gates. I did a lot of that really, really heavy about 3-4 years ago, giving away a lot of free products to people, and was really successful with that.
What's the near future vision for the businesses you're running?
You know, I think the future vision, a lot of the focus is going to be on the podcast. And people might laugh and say, why would you focus on the podcast? Because that doesn't really bring in revenue. But I think down the line, podcasting is still growing. It's still relatively new as far as hitting the mainstream. And I like the fact that, you know, both of us here are seeing that, and we're jumping in early and kind of staking our claim, if you will. And so I think that podcasting is only going to grow. I think it's going to be presenting ways to monetize, and also the opportunities that come from it. I know of a gentleman that I know that had a podcast. Now he's working with different media companies based off of that relationship. And so really the opportunities are endless. You may be picked up for a syndicated radio show. You just have to have your eyes open and be creative. Also, offering advertising through a podcast is also something that can earn you revenue down the line. Of course, you know, when you're first starting off your podcast, your listenership isn't large, but it grows over time. And so I'm thinking down the line, 2-3 years, getting into this podcasting a little more heavy, and also YouTube, you know, putting the podcast up on video and doing videos and information like that. It can only enhance your brand. And I think people are going to be kicking themselves basically a few years from now who did not start a podcast when they had the opportunity to jump on early.
Exactly. We feel very strongly the same way about that same topic. And to wrap up the conversation, could you give us some few style tips for the gentlemen out there who are listening to this conversation? Maybe a few basic things that will definitely transform your look, but maybe go outside of that as well.
Yeah, I would say the best advice I could give is make sure the clothes are fitting properly. As long as your clothes are fitting properly and you're taking care of them, you're going to look great. The problem is, especially in the U.S., most guys wear their clothes 1 to 2 sizes too large, so the clothing comes off a little baggy. So even if you have a great brand on, you know, high quality product, if it doesn't fit correctly, it won't look right, and so it's going to throw everything off. So first thing, make sure everything fits correctly. Second thing, keep it simple. You don't have to have a lot of different colors and a lot of different patterns. You know, dark pants, white shirt, and a blazer, that's never going to go out of style. It's pretty much a timeless look. And then the tip from there to build on top of that, just accentuate with a few accessories, maybe a bracelet or, you know, an eye-catching watch. But definitely make sure your pocket square stands out. And my favorite go-to item is just a crisp white shirt. I mean, you can wear that with jeans. You can wear that with a suit, tie or no tie, and you're going to look almost like $1 million if you have a crisp white shirt that fits you great. And make sure your shoes are polished all the time, guys.
That one's very important. Richard, where can people find out more about you and Harrison Blake? And is there anything else that you want to share or link out to? Now is the moment to share with our audience.
Hey, I really appreciate it. If you'd like to be up on our brand, I'll just simply go to harrisonblakeapparel.com, and all the products are there and the subscriptions and everything like that. If you'd like to learn more about me and my books and the consulting and also the podcast, there's a website for that. It's called www.thelife, thelifeofagent.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at thelifeofagent, and I'd be more than happy to connect with anybody. And I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. This was fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know you're used to a 30-minute format, and I think we nailed it. Maybe we can
yeah.
Part two sometime in the future. But yeah, it was a pleasure, and thanks again for taking the time.
I really enjoyed it. I think you guys are onto something great, and I think in a few years our podcasts are really going to be taking off. So I look forward to connecting with you guys, and let's keep in touch, please.
Yeah, let's keep in touch, and maybe next one is going to be a panel somewhere.
Sounds good. I got to get over to Amsterdam and see you guys.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Exactly, yeah,
yeah, and we'll definitely give you a shout out if our life takes us somewhere in the States at some point.
Oh yeah, definitely. Please do.
All right, Richard. Enjoy your day.
Thanks again.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.